the end of Exodus 2, we read about a priest who had seven daughters. This priest lived in the land of Midian, and Midian, you may remember, was the place where Moses fled to after he had killed the Egyptian. While in the land of Midian, in Exodus 2, verse 15, the Bible tells us that Moses sat down. He decided to seat himself by a well. The priest's daughters, presumably all seven, came to get some water for the family animals, and they were chased away by some shepherds. Moses intervened, and because of Moses' intervention, the shepherds of a Midian priest got their water. The daughters of the Midian priest got their water. The harassment from the shepherds, as I look at the text, seems to have been a fairly common occurrence. And I base this conclusion, if you've turned back to Exodus 2, let's look at the information in verse 18 and see what this priest, what this dad, said to his daughters. Verse 18 says, "And when they came to Reuel their father, he said, 'How is it that ye are come so soon today?'" He expected them to be delayed. He thought that they would come at a later time. So what was unusual about today that you were able to come back to the house faster than normal? Well, the daughters had an answer. In verse 19, the text says that these girls related their dad that there was this Egyptian, speaking of Moses, and he had come along and he had aided them. Well, after dad heard how this fellow had come along and helped his daughters, he asked this question in Exodus 2, verse 20. And he said unto his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him, that he may eat bread." Well, as the story continues, verse 21 records how Moses actually came to live with this priest. He was in the house where these seven daughters were. It was also through the process of time that this priest gave one of his daughters to Moses as a wife. The hospitality that's recorded in this chapter is the subject, it is the focus that we want to think about tonight in this lesson. What is hospitality? Why should we, as we go through life, try to practice hospitality? Why is it important? What, if anything, does it accomplish? I'd like to suggest that one of the first things that we read about as far as Bible history is hospitality. We see it early in the book of Genesis. We also find it in what many believe to be the book of Job. I'm going to turn to Job 31. This past week, I've received some disturbing news. There's a young man, he did not identify which Christian school he's with, but there is a school that is associated somehow with the Churches of Christ. And in this school, in the science department, evolution is being taught. That's bad. But in the Bible department, there is at least one Bible professor who questions whether or not heaven and hell, or at least hell, is really something that exists. And this same Bible class teacher has suggested that Job was not a real character. Job was just some kind of myth. And we really can't believe the book. That's sad, that's wrong, but we do accept the book as being not only inspired by God, describing a real person, and probably one of the first Bible books that was written. Job seems to describe a very early time in man's history. Now, Job 31, to set the stage a little bit, this has been called, and I think correctly called, Job's final protest of innocence. Job, throughout the book, has been talking about the fact that he didn't commit some secret sin. He's not guilty of several cardinal sins. And now, as Job comes to this point in his defense, he talks about hospitality. Job 31, verses 31 and 32. The 31st verse says, "If the men of my tent," these of course would be servants, "if my servants," have they said, "who can find one that hath not been filled with his meat? The sojourner, the stranger, hath not lodged in the street. But I have opened my doors to the traveler." Now, verse 31 may seem a little difficult or strange, but if we pause for a second or two, it's not that difficult to understand. Job said, "Check out my servants. Go talk to my household helpers and ask them, inquire of my servants, when I have ever let someone go hungry." Job said, if you want to look at my life, I'm a person who's offered hospitality. When someone has come, they did not go away hungry. In verse 32, Job comes right out and says, "I've shown hospitality to strangers." So if it's right that this is one of the first Bible books, if Job is someone who lived at a very early time in history, Job was someone, and presumably others, were familiar with the subject of hospitality. This is, therefore, a subject that's dealt with early in the Bible. There are several other passages in the Old Testament, and certainly in the New, which also talk about hospitality. Job's discussion, though, of it is important for at least two reasons. First, it tells us that this topic is not only a Bible topic. It tells us that this subject has been in existence for a long, long time. Second, we find that when we look at Job, he's a man who did many good things. He was a man who pleased God. So if we want to be a good person, if we want to please God, the righteous things, the good things that Job did, These are things that we can and should try to emulate in our own lives. Hospitality has been defined as receiving strangers or guests in a way that is friendly and generous. Well, this is what Job did. People needed help, and Job said, come on in. You need food? You need some assistance? You need some aid? I stand ready to serve you. There needs, as we go through life, to be hospitality exercised in our homes. Not the only place, but certainly there. We've said that soon the members from Goshen and other congregations are going to have an opportunity to show hospitality. We have, in about 30 days, about 15 people coming in from out of state who are going to be involved in a campaign. And the campaign is going to be a little unusual in that 6 different congregations are going to be involved, so it's going to be a one-day involvement per group as far as actual door knocking. But students are being asked to come in and help various congregations. As these men come in, some are going to be married, some are not. There will be a need to show hospitality. If you were in the adult Bible class last Wednesday night, I mentioned that there's one congregation in the area, as far as my contact with them, that's indicated, well, we were a little bit reluctant to show some hospitality. One congregation said to me, we're not sure that we have room for all the students. I tried to politely but firmly convey to this group that there's probably a pretty good chance that they can find room for the men. As I was having that discussion, I thought back to a time on a campaign in Russia. If you can envision a 2-bedroom apartment that's not some kind of penthouse, but I mean a small 2-bedroom apartment. I can remember a time many years ago where there were 30 of us in a 2-bedroom apartment. That's where we spent the night, and the quarters were tight, and it was hot, and some of the people stunk, and we had some unwanted guests coming through the windows that were left open. They don't have screens, at least they didn't at the time. But you know, nobody died during the night. Everybody woke up the next day. We got through it. There was someone who was willing to show hospitality, and even though it may not have been ideal, it may not have been 5 stars, they showed hospitality, and it turned out to be an okay experience. Several years ago, before this campaign, Teresa and I, we were in our first year of marriage, and you want to talk about people who were poor? We were beyond poor. If it's possible to be super broke, we were in the super broke category. We knew that a move was coming up about 6 months from the time I'm describing, so we thought, well, we're going to have to move across town to a place that we really don't want to. It rented for $175 a month. Utilities were included, and even way back when, that was dirt cheap. Teresa cleaned up the place as much as she possibly could, but I mean, still, when you're in a place that should be condemned, there's only so much you can do. One day, at the congregation we were worshiping at, there was a young man who showed up. Can't remember his name, can't remember his face, but he came to town, he was a member of the church, and he needed a place to stay for the evening. The elders thought, for whatever reason, that Teresa and I would be the right hosts. We would just connect. So the elders came over and said, Brad, Teresa, we would like you to take this young man home with you. Show some hospitality. Well, we were willing to do that, but we were not really enthused about that because of where we lived. I mean, we were embarrassed to have anybody over because the place was that bad. We did our best to explain to the elders, you may not have been over to our place, but the floor is not level. It is a place that's filled with cockroaches, and we've done the best that we can, but I mean, the place should be condemned. Oh, no, it's fine. He'll be fine with that. Try to tell the young man that, you know, we really want you to stay somewhere, but I mean, you know, camping out in the woods might be a little preferable to what we have to offer. He said, it's okay. So he came home, didn't run out the door, and we made him as comfortable as we could, but I still remember to this day. The next morning came, early in the morning. I mean super early, long before we were ever ready to wake up. He was up, headed out the door, and hollering down the steps, bye, see ya, thanks. And that was it. Well, hey, how about breakfast? Let us at least get out of bed and say, we wish you well. But the accommodations in his mind were so rough, he barely, I think, got through the night. We offered him what we had, what we could, from our pathetic house. And you know, sometimes when we think about hospitality, we think it has to be 5 stars. It doesn't. We might like it to be a lot better than what we have. It might not be what we're accustomed to offering. But the good thing about hospitality is it does not have to be a 5-star experience, at least to count in God's sight. Thinking about hospitality in some other terms, a person might not get out very much. And they're looking forward to a visit. And in their mind, the ideal visit would be an hour. We want you to come by or stay half the day. Stay all day. We don't get visitors very often. But we come by and we've only got 10 minutes to spend with that person. Better to spend 10 minutes with that individual, even though they'd prefer us to be there half a day, and give them a 2-star visit instead of a 5-star visit, rather than give them 0 stars, rather than fail to show up. We can show hospitality in our homes. We can show hospitality in the place where we worship and other public spots. Hospitality can take the form of a visit. Hospitality may take the form of a meal, offering a person a place to sleep, or maybe even a cup of cold water. In Acts 16, and we're going to turn over here, we have a couple of stories about people who become Christians. The one that we want to pull from is going to involve a woman by the name of Lydia. Now, as we look at Acts 16, we find that this lady did become a Christian. And she probably had a lot of things to learn. But when she became a Christian, there was one thing she seemed to have a pretty good handle on. And this was hospitality. Listen to Acts chapter 16, verse 15. And when she was baptized, not long after she became a Christian, minutes, maybe an hour, but when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, "If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." She was a new Christian. Was this invitation this day, maybe a little later? Can't tell for sure. But we do know from the text that this woman said to the people who had helped her become a Christian, she compelled them, she urged them, she insisted, "You accept.